I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
On a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday that is going to be a blast from beginning to end. What's the nicest or meanest way to fire somebody? Google employees in New York City just found out. We'll debate that. Someone wants to know, would I ever work for CNN? We're going to have an interesting internal debate about that. Well, okay, we're going to have an honest discussion about that. What do I miss most about football and the NFL and my New York Giants, the DOJ, the corruption of police? Someone thinks I back the blue too much. We'll have an honest talk about that. All that and so much more to come tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Relax, relax. The weekend's officially here, all right? You're done with the week. Shed it off. We'll keep it fairly light tonight. Obviously, we're going to have to bring up some Biden stuff and the documents and things. I get all that, but going to keep it pretty light tonight. I do want to address this right off the bat. Why? Because no one else did, and I think that's hilarious when I do that. Google. Let me do this. Do you know much about big tech companies, these social media companies? I don't. I've never worked for one. My familiarity with them is because I have somebody very close to me who's worked in that sector for a long, long time. And I find it to be completely fascinating because it's so foreign to me. Now, this is what I mean. I am used to normal jobs. When I grew up, I had all the crappy jobs you had when you were a kid. I was washing dishes and washing cars. I was working construction. I was doing all the crappy minimum wage jobs, trying to get enough money that maybe take a pretty girl out to dinner, something like that. Whatever, some beer money on the weekends. Who knows? That's what I wanted. From there, I moved on to the Marines, and then from the Marines back into construction. From construction, long way around into RV sales. So I'm used to what I consider to be relatively normal jobs. Show up in the morning, work hard, you have a uniform of some kind. Even when you're in construction, you have some sort of a uniform. Make sure you're in jeans, Carhartts, work boots. Make sure you're ready to work when you're in RV sales. Wear your RV, you know, sales polo. Show up in the morning, leave at night. Every workday's fairly the same. Maybe this is your story. Maybe this is your life. Maybe this is your job. These big tech things are so different. And this is what I mean. I've told you before, this person who works in big tech in my life, they would have times where there was bring your pet to the office. And there was an entire dog park in the office. And your dog can be in the office with you. Now, you know I love my dog, Fred. I'm never bringing Fred into the office. Why? Because we're freaking working. That's why. It's my pet. It's my dog. It's not your dog. You don't want to see my dog. My dog's going to stay at home. Okay, big tech doesn't work that. Bring your dog to work, a normal thing at big tech. Another thing, this was a thing that happened regularly. Sometimes they would have periods of time where they couldn't get out of there at all, really. There were people who slept. They had sleeping quarters set up at the place. It was difficult to describe. And sometimes during those times, they would have pajama days at work. I'm not making this up. These are grown adults, 30, 40, 50 years old. Everyone wore their pajamas to work because there were long hours that day. And the company provided beer. I swear on my life, I'm not making that up. They would go and beer was provided as they worked. And they would sit with their puppy in their pajamas and drink. Okay, I'm not familiar with this life. I've never experience that kind of thing. You probably haven't either, but that's big tech. They're different people, different ideas. They all see themselves. Keep in mind, a lot of these people really are artists and kind of visionary types, so they're a little different anyway, like a musician or an actor. Yeah, Chris, exactly. Do the finger by your ear going back and forth thing. That's what these people are. But a lot of them just have delusions of grandeur, too. Oh, my gosh, we're Google. We rule the world. So I saw this today, and I'm going to move on to because we have all kinds of other stuff tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. I just thought it was interesting. For New York City, you see Google, they really are more powerful than many governments around the world. And they have these mega shops, these mega centers where people work, including a big one in New York City. Today, get the nerve-wrackingness, if that's even a word, of this. Today, if you were an employee at Google in New York City, you need a badge to get in. Remember, everything's electronic. Everything's scanned and electronic now. You needed a badge to get in. You had to line up this morning in New York City and scan your badge. And if the light turned red, it meant you've been laid off. If it turned green, it meant you were good to go. And I've got to tell you, I've seen people yell about this all day today. I've seen people support it all day. I'm a big supporter, and here's why. People can say that may be a cold-hearted way to fire somebody, and I guess I can agree with that, but I'm cold-hearted, so maybe this is why I support it. Let me ask you something. You say that's a cold-hearted way to fire somebody, and I'm not saying you're wrong. Let me ask you something. What's the nice way to fire somebody? Is there a nice way to tell somebody, hey, Chris, by the way, you don't work here anymore. Sorry. Is that the nice way to do what, Chris? Okay, now Chris brings up a good point. At least I would have done it in person. And I've had to fire more than one person in my life. And I've always done it in person, one-on-one, because I always felt obligated to do so. I've had grown men cry in front of me. It's not a great feeling in the world. I personally feel obligated to sit down with you and tell you you're fired. But to the fired party, would that make it easier? If Premier decides, hey, we're tired of getting these complaint phone calls, we're done with the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't worry, everything's fine. I'm not going anywhere. But let's say Premier decided we're done. This guy's too much trouble. If they fired me by badge, which I don't have a badge, that'd be cool. I want a badge, Chris, that scans stuff. Why can't we have badges? What? You know what? Forget it. Anyway, if they fired me by badge or if the suits flew out here and sat me down and said, Jesse, your show sucks. We're going a different direction. Would either one hurt less? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. That's one. Two, I think that's the kind of country, the kind of world we're going to anyway. A world that I'm not one of these anti-technology people. Let me clarify. I don't know technology, and I hate a lot of it, but I acknowledge that's the way of the world, and it's going forward, and I know that I'm behind on it and stuff like that, but I don't lament all aspects of technology. I think a lot of it is really, really wonderful. I will say a big negative on it, though, is it does create a colder society in general, not just the workplace, a colder society. When you have, quote, human interaction all online, I think that's bad. Human beings are made, and this is from me. You know, this is from antisocial Jesse, very much introvert Jesse. It's good to go shake someone's hand, to sit down and have lunch or dinner with somebody, give someone a hug. Human beings are made for okay, Chris, you're not a hugger. Why are you not a hugger? I'm a big hugger. I like hugging people. Sometimes I shake hands. Sometimes I hug. I'm a hug guy. But you know why, Chris? You know why I'm a hug guy? Well, I've never hugged you. Obviously, we're not in the Air Force, but you know why I'm a hug guy? Because I'm outstanding at it. You see, I have these, what, Chris? I have big hands because I'm 6'8", and long arms, meaning I'm champion hugger. I know that it's one of my supreme things. It's one of the really great things I do. So I do that as basically a charitable donation to everybody else. All right. So Joe Biden recently declared some sort of a North American declaration. And somebody's very, very confused about what exactly that is, a declaration of North America. Joe Biden, he got together with Mexico's president. He got together with Justin Trudeau, and he did some declaration of North America. And someone's curious about it, and I'm going to answer that. But I will say this before I get to the actual answer, but I will say this. These world leaders, inevitably, when you become a world leader of any kind, president, prime minister, whatever you are, you view yourself all of a sudden automatically, I've talked to these people before, through a historical lens. It's weird. You're automatically transporting yourself to a time when you've long been dead. And you immediately go with the, what will I be remembered for? Like me, I don't have any delusions of grandeur. You know what's going to be around 100 years after I'm gone? You know what's going to be left of me? My burger recipe. I'm not even kidding. I've had this thought before. I'll be long dead and gone. No one will ever know I've ever done a radio show, but the Jesse Kelly burger recipe will be around forever. People won't even know who Jesse Kelly is. All right, so what is this declaration? And whatever work at CNN and cops, do I support all of them? Someone says I do. Hang on. I've got an
animal inside of me. This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show.
Those are the words of Ketanji Drown Jackson.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But I have a couple questions I'm going to combine here. You see, Chris, maybe one day, if you so desire, maybe one day you'll have your own show. And whenever that day starts, I want you to know how lucky you've been to learn under the Oracle, your hero, your mentor. What, Chris? Your hero and your mentor. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to take two different things and I'm going to combine them. We artists, we can look at Velveeta and chopped jalapenos and we automatically know those two things should be combined to make something great. All right? I don't know if you can pick up these skills that I have, but I hope one day you do. So I have this email. Hey, Jesse, started listening to your program out of the request of my relative in Alaska. Been listening for 2 months, totally thrilled how you present everything. I live on the opposite side of the country from him. I have to deal with insane decisions, so on and so forth. I've been reading the recent Joe Biden Declaration of North America that he signed after meeting with Mexico and Canada on January 10th. Help us understand this. Is this a threat to American sovereignty? Is it something that'll become law? So on and so forth. Okay, but take that, set that aside for a moment. Because I have this email. This will appear to amateurs like Chris totally unrelated, but it's actually very related, and it applies to all of us. So this email said, Jesse, have you watched TV lately? It seems every commercial has an interracial or homosexual family. Are these companies following some FCC rule or simply doing whatever they can to help the Ukrainians and hurt Vladimir Putin? You can say my name. Okay, but those things don't sound related, right? Joe Biden gets together with Mexico's president, and all of a sudden they sign some declaration in North America, and this guy's complaining that every commercial has a gay couple in it. Okay? Well, just let me give you a couple snippets before I go into my little rant here about what we're actually dealing with. There is an official page, if you'd like to read it, the Declaration of North America, the DNA. No big deal, Chris. Anyway, there's official declaration. It talks about Mexico's president, Manuel López Obrador. I only said his name because that's a great name. Biden and Trudeau, they meet. They met in Mexico City at a big summit. Decided to fortify the region's security, prosperity, and sustainability and inclusiveness. Now, pay attention to this part. I'm not going to go over all of it. This is pages long. Just the opening is all you really need to understand for what this means. This is the six pillars. All right, here they are. One, diversity, equity, inclusion. So you're already rolling your eyes, but just stay with me. Two, climate change and the environment. Three, competitiveness. Four, migration and development. Five, health. And six, regional security. Okay, so let's actually do a little breakdown on this and what all this stuff means. You already know diversity, equity, inclusion. You know that that's communism. That is all simply destroying what is good, what is accomplished
in favor of creating this nothing, miserable society of poverty. That's all that is. Climate change and the environment, I don't have to elaborate on that. Competitiveness, forget about that. That's just a word they threw in there. 4, migration and development. What are they talking about? Flooding America with all the illegals. Canada and Mexico won't be flooded with them. 5, health. Don't think they actually mean health. They mean pushing mRNA technology on you every single chance they get. Sorry, don't have a stroke. And 6, regional security. What do they mean about that? Guarding against China? No, 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 no. Remember, the world, the entire world, the Western world is now well aware that the right wing, both in America and their own countries, are the real enemy. Canada has declared war on their right wingers. I know we have many Canadian listeners. They know what I'm talking about. America has done the same. Mexico is just a disaster anyway. So, okay, so that's that. But what's this have to do with an email about every commercial has a gay couple in it now? Well, pause on all this stuff for a moment. Did you ever have a monster in the closet situation when you were a child? Or did you remember it? Did your parents ever tell you about it? You know what I mean. Daddy, there's a monster in my closet. Or there's a monster under my bed. Under my bed's a big one. And I wasn't big on that, mainly because I knew my dad would just yell at me and call me a wuss. But I wasn't big on that stuff. But I remember having moments. You watched a scary movie or something like that. And you just, this is going to apply. Hang with me. And so you run back to your bed and you got to jump in your bed. You ever see the movie Neverending Story? Chris has never seen it because he's a child, but most of you have seen the movie Neverending Story. If you haven't, all you need to know is there's a wolf in there that's basically the most terrifying thing ever. Chris, do an internet search right now for wolf Neverending Story and then go clean the pee out of your shorts because you're going to pee. Just looking at him, you're going to pee. Anyway, he's a really scary wolf, and the wife will tell you for years after watching that movie, oh, I know. I told you, Chris. I told you, scary. For years after watching that movie, just as a child, she was worried that he was under her bed. Okay? Now, this is going to apply to everything we're talking about here. Just hang with me in a moment. Think about the wolf under your bed, the monster in your closet, something like that. We'll come back to that in just a moment. I have to do something really quick first, something a little bit more important than us. Babies. You know that there are stories from preborn about women coming in. Women are going in for an abortion. And preborn convinces them to come get a free ultrasound. Hey, just come get a free one. It's fine. And they find out not only are they pregnant with a real human being, as women do, they're pregnant with twins. They're pregnant with triplets, you know, preborn. One person's $28 donation. Maybe it was yours. You know that they didn't save a life with their $28? They saved 3 of them. Lady lays down for her ultrasound. Not one, not two, but 3 heartbeats. 3 lives. She chose life that day because she heard the heartbeat. Chose life. 3 people are alive because of one person's $28 to preborn. That's how they do it. Plus 2 years of care they provide for these women. Go to preborn.com/Jesse. $140 gets you 5 ultrasounds. $28 gives you one. Look, if maybe you're hard up. Maybe you've got $5. Give them $5. Give. Saving lives. The money goes right to the babies, all right? Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse or dial #250-SAY-BABY. Sponsored by Preborn. All right, so what is the monster in the closet, the monster under the bed? What does it have to do with Biden and TV and really everything we see and feel now? I'll explain in a second.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. In case you're just now joining us, I'm answering something. Someone asked, what's the Joe Biden Declaration of North America? What's with all the TV commercials? Every single person's gay in the commercials now. How are these two things created? And I talked about being a child. Either you were this or you've had one or you know of one. A child that's worried about the monster under the bed. Monster in the closet. Now let's go to that. The monster under the bed, the monster in the closet. Here's what's crazy about it. I can remember, this happened to me briefly, but I can remember not getting out of my bed, laying there as a kid, got to get up, go pee, not getting out of my bed because the monster's under there. I got to pee. I'm not going to go. I don't want to get eaten. I don't want to get pulled under the bed by the monster that's under there. And so the real consequences are I'm laying there in pain, not sleeping, maybe going to pee the bed because the monster under the bed is real to me. Now, the monster isn't really underneath the bed. He's not really there, obviously. The parent would come in, oh, son, it's okay. Or if it's my dad, he'd say, don't be ridiculous, go pee. There's no dumb monster. But you understand what I mean. There's no monster. He's not real, but he is real to me. In fact, he's so real to me as a child that he has... there are real tangible consequences to me thinking he is real. Okay, why in the world would a president of the United States of America get together with the big cheese in Canada and the big cheese in Mexico and come up with some multi-page thing that's all about LGBTQ and oil and gas are the worst, and it's every single communist front group from the, quote, civil rights people to the climate change nutters to the LGBTQ demon mob, every single one gets represented in these things. Why? Why in the world would they do that? Why in the world would companies, when they're, remember, companies... this is how this works. Companies, when they do ad campaigns, it is a major ordeal. At Chevy, they don't wake up today and say, you know, hey, I got a good idea for a commercial. Put that out there. This is my idea. Put that out there. Should be on TV by noon today. No. You have entire advertising departments. You have proposals from people. Hey, it's advertising time. Bring your best proposal for what the new ad campaign should be. Should it be tugging at the heartstrings or funny? What are your ads? What are your ideas? And then they'll compete against each other. Oh, man, he selected my ad campaign. And then once you get the ad campaign, you're working on funds for this whole thing. Okay, how much money are we going to spend? Where are we going to spend it? Is it all going to NBC, ABC, CBS? Should we spend some on Nickelodeon? It's a major deal. And yet, as part of that major deal with all these people and millions and tens of millions of dollars involved, there is always the, hold up. Do we have any gay people in this commercial? If there are no gays, we're done here. All right, get some gays now. Hold on. Not one mixed race couple? Whoa, what are we doing? That woman with her white husband? Get a black dude in there. Come on, let's go. Why? Why does the president do this? Why does Canada's head do this? Why do companies do this? Because there is a monster under the bed in this country, not just for the left, for many, many, many on the right. And that monster is this communist shame. We live in a shame society. Most societies really can be classified as a shame society, but we live in a society where people are constantly afraid of being confronted by this big, scary monster that's going to eat them before they go pee. And so what it is, the monster isn't really real. Don't get me wrong, they have some teeth, but the monster's not really real. But what it is, the results of thinking the monster is there, is the monster is governing every bit of their action. Why does Joe Biden meet with the Mexican president and the Canadian president to talk about all this useless climate change stuff and LGBT? Why would you ever do such a thing?
because in Joe Biden's mind, he can't do anything without worrying, without taking the monster into account. Why would you hire some turbo freak who dresses up in women's underwear and is into, and I quote, pup play to be part of your nuclear program in your government? That Sam Brinton lunatic who ended up getting fired for stealing people's luggage. Why would you do that? Because the monster's under the bed. Hey, we can't just hire someone. We got to find a freak. Is there a freak out there? Let's get a freak in. The monster will get mad. You can't just run an ad campaign for Chevy. Hey, buy our car. It's good safety. Four-wheel drive. Fastest growing car. Whatever things they would say. You can't just do that. No, what? Guys, what about the monster? Hey, man, there's a monster out there. Have we drowned ourselves in rainbow colors yet today? If not, the monster's going to get us. That's what we have now. You actually see, believe it or not, it's not just woke or communist or whatever you want to call it, corporate America or the federal government. Remember, this stuff is all throughout the federal government now. It is the U.S. of gay now. It's in the military. It's in the Pentagon. It's everywhere. Everyone, our entire society. It's not kids. Our entire society is concerned about the monster under the bed. But you see it on the right all the time, too. You've heard me lament it time and time again. How the right is constantly concerned about how it's being viewed. Constantly concerned about that same monster under the bed. Do you remember that interview? I don't have the audio with it right now because it just popped into my head, but it was so revealing. You remember that interview Trump had where someone sat down with Trump? I forget who it was. I wish I could give him credit. Someone sat down with Trump. This was in the past few months and asked him, hey, why didn't you fire Fauci when he was wrecking the country and wrecking your presidency? Why didn't you fire Fauci? And do you remember what Trump's answer was? Trump's answer wasn't that, hey, I like the job he was doing. Trump's answer wasn't, well, I wasn't sure. Trump's answer, you remember what it was? Remember what Trump said? Trump said, well, the left would have been really mad. The left would have freaked out. Do you have it, Chris?
Should you have fired Fauci?
So a lot of people asked me that question, and I did it right. Because if you do fire him, you're going to have a firestorm on the left again, as usual. And I didn't listen to him, if you think about it.
Well, I would have fired him, but there would have been a firestorm on the left. I would have got up to pee. I've got to pee. I know going to pee is the right thing so I can get back to bed and go back to sleep, but oh my gosh, that monster under the bed. You see, look, I'm not trying to nitpick at this point in time, but just it's the example that popped into my head. Donald Trump could have fired Fauci. Oh yeah, the media would have freaked. There's no question about it. All the left would have freaked. Oh my gosh, the end of the world, killed everybody. Bah! But if you just ignore it and acknowledge that the monster isn't real, in the end, you get to go pee and you go back to sleep. But the country itself is paralyzed by this communist monster. People ask all the time. I get more emails along this line. Jesse, I can't believe you get away with what you do. Jesse, I can't believe you get away with what you say. Jesse, thank you so much for actually speaking the truth other people won't. You understand that there's nothing at all special about what I do, right? I simply tell myself every single day, that monster under the bed isn't real. If I want to go pee, I'm going to go pee. A fake monster won't stop me. And miraculously, once you get used to doing that, once you get up out of that bed and no monster grabs you and you walk to the bathroom and you use it and you go back to bed, soon you realize the monster's fake and you're looking around at everyone who still thinks it's real and you're shaking your head thinking, wake up. Buck up, grow up. That's the truth. That's what's going on in the country right now. The monster under the bed. All right. Let's talk about money. That's always fun, right? Because New York City's out of it. There's something coming for these blue areas. I'm going to tell you that. And CNN, would I ever work for them? Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Uh-oh, our first hour's flying by already, as it always does on an Ask a Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. New York City schools initiative face $700 million gap as federal COVID funding dries up. The communists, you don't like them. I don't like them. They're horrible, of course. And because they are aggressive and they're vicious, sometimes we assign a level of genius to them, evil genius to them, that is not warranted. The communists really did miscalculate something hugely during COVID. It was very, very short-term thinking. Okay, COVID gets here. They quickly realize they can use this virus to destroy the thing that's going to get Donald Trump reelected, because everything in the minds of the communists became about purging the system disruptor. Donald Trump had a good economy. They figured out right away, wait, let's just lock the thing down and ruin his economy. And they did. And then they started figuring out other things. Hold on a minute. We can use this to benefit the teachers' unions. Remember, the teachers' union is maybe the biggest supporter of Democrat politicians in the country. The teachers' unions figured out, hey, we'll just yank all the kids out of school and claim we're worried about safety and try to get sweetheart deals for ourselves. Okay, well, sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah. Except here's the problem for the communists, and this is great news for us, and I'll get on to this other stuff here. The great news is, you see, the communists, when they originally started infiltrating the school system in America, that was the first place they went, by the way. Surprise, surprise, they went to the school system. When they first started infiltrating it, they would talk extensively. They put it in writing about how they need to keep it quiet. Hey, let's keep it quiet. America hates communists. Let's keep this quiet. Let's not advertise what we're doing. Let's keep it quiet. Let's keep it quiet. But communists have enjoyed such luxury in this country, and the right has been so pillow soft in dealing with them, that now the communists got to the point where he felt like he didn't have to keep anything quiet anymore. He felt like he was in total control. No, shut down the schools. We run things here. Except New York City doesn't have money to print. And a lot of these schools, they base their funding on how many kids enroll. And the communists didn't take into account that exposing just how evil he is and just how evil his intentions are with the school kids was going to result in a serious loss of power. There is so much terrible we can talk about when it comes to COVID lockdowns, our COVID response, but the greatest thing that came of it was America waking up to how truly evil and despicable our school system is. The school boards, the school administrators, many of the teachers, and I mean despicable. There's a story, I think it was out of Michigan, I saw it this morning, I didn't pull it up, about some teacher talking on the school board, unapologetically saying all white people are evil. You know those stories of the atrocities you see committed, especially in communist countries where the worst were always committed, Spain, Soviet Union, all these places, the horrible things they did. You know that same mentality that governed the group of communist animals as they were crucifying a priest on a Spanish altar? That same mentality runs America's school system. These are the same people. You know that, right? Oh, the language has changed. Kill Whitey! The exact same people would do the exact same thing. That's the truth. All right. All right. Let's talk about cops. Am I a universal supporter of cops? Someone thinks I am. And would I work for CNN? But first, let's discuss something we talked a little bit earlier about in the show. Let's discuss your dog. You know what I get now at the house? The dog is two and a half years old. And I already am getting this from the wife and the kids. I don't want him to ever die. They've never had a dog. And remember, I grew up with dogs. So dog lives for 10, 13, 14, 15 years, maybe if you're lucky. And then he dies. And you got to go bury your dog and you got to cry. And it's freaking terrible. And they've never experienced this. And already they're starting to realize this big fluffy idiot is going to die one day. I owe Rough Greens a thank you, simply because I know it's pushing that day further down the road than it would have to be. I love these emails I get from vets and dog people who say it's prolonged my dog's life. It's prolonged my dog's life. His joints work better. His digestive system works better. Thank you for postponing that day for me, Rough Greens, because that's going to be a freaking rough one. All right. A rough one, Chris. How about that for a pun? What? Don't be jealous. Anyway, get a free bag. They have free bags of Rough Greens now. Go to Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, by the way, roughgreens.com/Jesse. Free trial bag. All you pay for is the shipping. Go try it for free. See if your dog's not better, healthier. roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right. Hey, Dr. Jesse. I love your show. I agree with almost everything you say, except your unconditional support for all police. Why are you so disgusted with the FBI and weaponization of the DOJ, but never question the corruption of police? The police are our corrupt government lapdogs and break the oath they took to uphold the Constitution every day. If you don't believe me, just look at gun-grabbing police in liberal cities or police all over the nation arresting pastors for prayer during COVID. Please shed some light on this for me, sir. Keep up the good fight. Okay. Well, let me say this. I would argue, and this is human nature. I'm not pointing fingers at you at all. I do this too. Everyone does this. If every person you meet, if every short person you meet, every single one of them is rude to you, then it is human nature to naturally assume that the next short person you meet is going to be rude to you. You're conditioned in that way. You've been conditioned. Remember, all prejudice is simply a result of how you've been raised and your life experiences. If your parents hated Jews, you had anti-Semitic parents, they hate Jews. Maybe they were best friends with Ilhan Omar. They hate Jews. Jews suck. Death to Jews, or whatever these Jewish haters say. And let's say your parents hated Jews and they were always talking about Jews suck and Jews suck and Jews suck. And then you have a school project when you're in college with the first Jewish kid you've ever met. And he sucks. He's an idiot. He's rude. He screws up the project. Okay, so your parents have now rode you about Jews your whole life. You've had one life experience with a Jew, and it sucked. You're probably going to have some prejudice leak into your body. It's human nature. And it's not good. I'm not applauding it, but it's human nature. I'm the same way. And it doesn't apply, again, to religion or skin color or I was joking about height, but height or weight or nationality or all French people are rude. Well, that's because your parents told you that and you met one French guy and he was a jerk. They're not all rude, I'm sure. I've never been to France, but I'm sure there's plenty of lovely ones. But in your mind, they are, right? Now, this applies to how you, I think, view me in this whole cop thing. I've never said all cops are great. There are tons of cops that are corrupt, horrible scumbags who should rot in prison for the rest of their lives. What you've heard me say is the cops aren't the problem in the urban black community. That's what you've heard me say. That's flatly ridiculous. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. If you talk to any resident of an urban black community, they will tell you opposite of that. That's what I've said. You've never heard universal back the blue on this show, and you never will, because that's ridiculous. Lots of cops are heroes. Lots of them are pieces of trash. That's just the way it goes. All right. But will I work for CNN? And what do I miss the most about football? Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.